Balam over Hurav the Mesechus Boba Basra Dav Vov Treis Dav, discussing claims that someone paid early. Do we have some sort of a chazaka in that regard? We discuss one-sided reinforcements, how neighbors should take care of joint property, sharing neighbors, building a maka on your roof to prevent hezekria together, splitting that maka. Where it begins by asking if one of the guys claims after the zman that he was supposed to pay back, he says, I paid you back within the zman. Now, our discussion yesterday was whether we believe people to say that they paid early. But now he's claiming it after the zman. So do we say that he has a migo? He could have claimed that he paid on time. He took it a step further by himself and said that he had paid it early. So would we believe him here with that migo? So we try being a raya from our Mishnah that said, with the joint wall and the chatzar, we assume that both of them had chipped in this wall that they were obligated to build, unless you prove that one of them had not participated in this building project. Now, what was the case? Is the guy claiming that he had paid for this wall after the zman, and he's saying that he paid on time? Of course we'll believe him that he paid on time. Elamai must be that he's claiming, well, the chiddush has to be that he was claiming that he had paid for this wall early, and we must be trusting him because he has a migu. That he could have said he paid it on time. The Gemara says, no, over there we said walls were different because every single row of bricks is another zman. We try a second raya from our Mishnah. We said that if they were building above the Dalet Amos necessary to prevent hezekria between the two chatzeres, then neither of them are chayav, and we assume that they hadn't participated unless you prove that you did. The Gemara says, again, what's the case? Are they claiming that he paid on time? Why wouldn't we believe him? Elamai is claiming that he paid early, and you see that we don't believe him even though he has a migo that he could have said he paid on time. Gemara answers, it's not necessarily a raya, because maybe the guy is going to be lying, because since this part of the wall above the Aramis is not a chiyuv, maybe the guy is going to try to get away with saying that he participated in it. And therefore, we wouldn't have believed the guy even if he had said he had paid on time. He doesn't have a migo here. Now Rav Acha Bered, Rav tells Rav Ashi an interesting shaila. If A tells B, you owe me $100, and he says, yep. A didn't testify to that. Now the next day he says, okay, well, pay up that $100 you said you owed me yesterday. So if he says, I already gave it to you, we have no reason to doubt him, and he's potter. But if he says, no, I never owed you anything, you have no claim against me, then he'll be chayiv. Why? So the Gemara says, L'chayra, we're saying, when he says, I gave it to you, he's saying, I paid you back on time. But if he were to say that you don't have any claim on me, there he's saying that I had paid you back early. There we said he's chayiv. You see that he doesn't have the migu to let him claim that he had paid it early. The Gemara says, no, you just misinterpreted. Ein l'cha biyadi, mean that you don't have any claim against me. That's him saying that the loan never happened in the first place. So we accept that he didn't pay back the loan. That we'll ask him to. But the fact that he didn't accept a loan, that we're not going to trust, because yesterday he said that he did. So we're going to take the incriminating half of his testimony that he hadn't paid it back, and we'll say, all right, let's pay up this loan that you clearly did borrow. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that if one of the neighbors in the chatzar starts adding to their joint wall, he's going to be chayev because he clearly wants this wall to be even higher than Dalet Amos. He's going to be chayev at that part, even above Dalet Amos. Now, Rav Huna says that once he starts leaning against even half the wall, he's chayev for the whole thing. Rav Nachman says, no, he's only chayev for the part that he is leaning up. He's only chayev for that portion. Rav Huna would agree that if he starts building, but only this little shack in the corner, that's the end of his project. That's clearly the end of his project, and he doesn't intend on using the rest of the wall. He'll only be chayav for that part. And on the flip side, Rav Nachman would agree that he would be chayav for the entire thing if he starts putting up cross beams. Clearly, he plans on using the whole thing. Now, Rav Huna says that if one guy on one side of this chatzar wall starts putting in reinforcement beams, that's not a chazaka that it's his wall. Even if he put casing on the other side for the second guy, it's not a riot that the guy on the other side also participated in it, because maybe the first guy is just saying, I put up the casing for you in case you one day decide you want to reinforce your side of the wall. I don't want to have to change my side, so I'm just preparing for any future renovations you might want to make. Rav Nachman says that just because the neighbor lets you put up light boards doesn't mean he'll let you put up heavy ones. But if he lets you put up heavy ones, then he'll definitely let you put up light ones. Rabbi Yosef says either way works. If he's letting you put up beams, you're allowed to put up even heavy beams. Some learn a little different there. Rabbi Nachman saying either way as well. If he's letting you put up beams, you can put up any beams you want. Rabbi Nachman says, if the guy is letting you drain into his entire chatzar, he definitely lets you pour into part of his chatzar, but not necessarily vice versa. Rabbi Yosef says, nah, if he's letting water go into his property, he's letting you water go in, you're allowed to pour everywhere, you're allowed to set up a drain into his system too. Some learner, Rabbi Nachman, says that either way is fine. Everyone agrees that you can't set up this teepee to set water gushing into his property. Rabbi Yosef says that even that would be okay. In fact, Rabbi Yosef set that up. Now, Rabbi Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Rabba says, if someone rents his friend an apartment in a row of apartments, and I'm basically say that the guy in this motel, he's allowed to use the windowsills up to dalet amas. He's allowed to use the thickness of the wall, depending on the minhag hamakom. Check out Maseches Pesachim for bidikas chometz related issues. However, if the guy has a front garden, here's a machlokes. Well, Tana Kama says he's not allowed to use it. Rabbi Nachman says that he can. It's just that the backyard you're not allowed to use, the big yard in the back. Rava says he's even allowed to use that backyard. Now Ravina tells us that if someone builds a hut and it's casting a shadow over his neighbor's yard, so for 30 days, there's no chazaka that the neighbor's okay with it. But after 30 days, if the guy hasn't said anything, clearly it's a chazaka, he doesn't mind. By a sukkah, you have 7 days. And the Rishonim say you have an 8th day to take it down. But that's not a raya that the guy minds you having a hut there. But if he doesn't say anything after sukkahs, then it's a chazaka that he doesn't mind you having your sukkah there. If, however, you start cementing your sukkah, which is an interesting shayla if you're making it keva, but immediately there's a chazok if the neighbor doesn't say anything, if he sees you making this permanent-like sukkah. And it says something if he doesn't make a claim right away. Now, Abaye tells us we have two houses that are right next to each other across the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And they could see into each other's roofs. So they, and people used to do a lot of work on their roofs. It wasn't, you know, just for laundry. There was a whole balagan up there. So this has a griya. So each one puts up a mako, a gate, halfway across their roof, and the other one does the other half of the roof, so they can't see into each other. What shaykh is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? No, because Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has a few things over Rosh Hashanah Yachid. First of all, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is there at night also. Is only there by day, while the neighbor is there at night, and therefore the chiddush is he is mechayiv him to put up for the nighttime hezekiah of Dafka, the neighbors. Secondly, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim only sees up into a roof when the guy's standing. If the guy's sitting, the only person who's causing damage with Hezekiah is the neighbor. And thirdly, the Rabbim has to mamash squint to try to see into his roof, but the neighbor's right there. And that's why Dafka, the chiddush is that the neighbor has to put up the Hezekiah wall, because he's causing a hezek that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim isn't. Moving on, Mara asks, what's the chiddush that they both have to take half of the maka for themselves to take care of the hezekria together? He explains that if one of the guys already started building his half of the wall, the second guy can't say, okay, you know, let me just pay you for the rest of your wall. I don't have to build a wall on my roof. Because the first guy could say, why don't you want to build a wall around your roof? Because it weakens the foundation, the walls that are holding up your rooftop wall. I don't want that either. Mamela, I'll do half and you'll do half. We'll both take half. We'll share the brunt of the roof walls. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.